Hello and welcome to another episode of the First and Goal podcast. I am Ben Roberts, joined by Sim Longa. And Sim, it was an eventful sports weekend on the campus of West Lafayette, packed full of basketball, volleyball, football, all at home this weekend. Probably not sure when the last time that has happened, but a lot of exciting stuff there. And it probably went about as how we thought it would, all things c c considered. Probably, the basketball team Friday night against Oakland gave us a little scare, but ended up getting the win. So no harm there. But starting off on the gridiron, Sim, I mean, we're just kind of at the point where we're running out of words to really kind of talk about this team. Is it's, a new week, but same outcome, same stuff we see on the field week in and week out there.
Yeah, man. I think like there's always a bit of optimism like going into these weeks because you're kind of like, hey, is this kind of the week where you properly see a turn maybe in the right direction? But and obviously, going up against the number one team in the country, there's incentive there because, I think much like we've talked about like in basketball in the last like over the past year in terms of how and even like looking forward to this year about how like every time you go on the road, it's going to be, that's going to be a big game for the opponent, whether they're having a good season or having a bad season. Like they know that that's an opportunity for them to make a season. It's the same thing, but kind of on, but for the reverse for the football team, going into this game against Ohio State. But yeah, I mean, the reality of the matter was that offensively, you weren't able to be, you weren't even able to, you weren't able to be even remotely competitive, if we're being completely honest. And yeah, the final score is 34-10, but I would argue that the defense, for a good chunk of it, kind of kept you in position to where, like, hey, if the offense was doing some shit, you could have found yourself again in that similar position that we found for the better part of the last, like, probably 4 or 5 weeks, where, the team's been in it going into the fourth and you had an opportunity to maybe make a stop and get a score and maybe win. But yeah, it just, I don't know. It was a disappointing performance, especially offensively. You hoped for and kind of expected more. I just kind of felt like that was, especially when I think about like the Notre Dame game, the USC game. Those are two games where like you knew the competition was stepping up and the offense was still able to show up to some extent, but like they didn't show up really at all against Ohio State, and it's extremely disappointing.
Yeah, I just like I can't remember a time where you didn't rush for 100 yards and you didn't throw for 100 yards either. Like for your starting quarterback to have 76 yards of passing, and 30 of those came on one play. So, yeah, just like you said, not good enough. The talent disparity pretty evident. But yeah, I mean, we'll see what happens. We go to Washington next week, a team that, looks beatable. A very bad Wisconsin team beat them this weekend and didn't do anything offensively. So if you're grasping for some kind of hope, you could maybe see that. But man, that one was a tough one. But credit to the defense specifically, but the team in general, still going out there and trying to. It doesn't feel like anybody has really quit on this team. And to your point, I thought the defense played well. They made some plays. Not only getting an interception in the end zone there was really neat, but you just got to be better, man. Like I, you know, like even the play calling, like you hit that play in the first quarter to Rico, and it was a 30-yard pass from a tight end. And we're like, oh shit, we actually have tight ends that we can use. And then he never gets the ball again. Just little things like that, like just kind of leave you pretty frustrated in a frustrated year there.
Yeah, man. I think like especially like early in the season, I felt like one of the things we were talking about that we were kind of applauding on the offense is that you could tell there was kind of like a you could like I guess the play calling made sense. Like you could figure out that there you could see that there was kind of like a rhythm, a cadence to how things were getting called, and now it just it doesn't seem that way. And I know this is like specifically there's a with the when you're talking about the quarterbacks, there was an issue you and I talked about, I think like weeks ago, about how every time it seems like you bring in Malachi Singleton about how like you're very clearly running, and how I think we talked about how at some point if you're going to bring him in the game, you have to let him throw. Like you have to let him throw because you can't have him come in these short down situations and everyone know that they're going to run. And it doesn't seem like they've ever really done that until the game was way, way far out of reach. But like my thing has been always been like if you're going to bring him in, even when it's first, second, third quarter and the game's still in reach, you have to bring him in for several plays. And I feel like you always needed to have one of those plays that he needed to throw because you needed to make a defense think, yeah, no, like there's just equal probability that he's going to run versus throw. And it just that's one of the pieces that kind of that agitates me now. And I just kind of feel like, yeah, like I mean, to go one step beyond obviously like the actual execution from a player standpoint, I feel like the play calling hasn't necessarily been the same as it was earlier in the season. And yeah, it's just, I mean, like you said, it doesn't look like guys are quitting. And so I can appreciate that. And especially what we've done defensively, really not, it ain't been belt to ass maybe the way it was last year. Even though like despite what the scoreboard looks like, I think if you've watched the games, the eye test, it's like you can very well see like guys are still trying. They're still very much so putting their effort out there. It just I think defense, excuse me, offensively, it's been very discouraging to see what we've seen over the last few weeks. It just seems like there's been some regression, not only from like the actual like output that the offense is getting, but I would argue that even from a play calling standpoint, it seems as though things have kind of taken a step back. And I try not to be like too critical, but obviously I like winning. So yeah, vibes.
But yeah, and to your point, like not even just bringing in Malachi, I think part of like the QB psyche too, it's got to be tough for Brian Brown. Like when they do get those drives and you march your team down the field and then you get pulled every time you get in the red zone, so
Right.
that Malachi can run in.
That's got to be annoying too. Because again, I think when you do that, it tips off the defense. You get into the red zone, you pull your starting quarterback, and then the clearly more running quarterback comes in. The first thing you're thinking as a defense is like, okay, well, they're probably about to run it now. And again, like that's why, like, I don't know. I just feel like from where we started at the beginning of the season, arguably the first four games of the year, I feel like we've changed some stuff and kind of regressed. We've changed some stuff that has made us kind of regress, I think, as an offense. And that's just, it's disappointing, but what do I know? I'm just on here to podcast.
From the top down, it just has to be better, and it hasn't. And I think he's going to leave it with a lot of question marks leading into next season about where the offense goes. And we'll get into that kind of in a later episode. But it's just been bad. Like there's no other way to sugarcoat it or anything. The offense has been very, very bad. One thing that has not been bad though is this volleyball team, man. Another week, another 2 wins. They out here just really playing some really good volleyball. It started off on Friday night with a sweep of the defending national champion Penn State Nittany Lions. And that match was their 20th win of the year, the best start to Big Ten play ever under Coach Condell, and just really impressive performance there. And Sim, it's always good when you can beat the defending national champion.
Yeah, man. Penn State, even if they're having a down year, still, I think their down year is still probably a year that most teams across the country would want to have. So to be able to not only beat them, but to be able to sweep them, that's always going to give you that's always going to be good. I'm not going to hear otherwise, honestly. So just really proud of what the ladies have been able to do. And honestly, and sorry to steal your thunder if you're about to allude to this, but like the fact that you beat the national champ, the defending national champions in 24 hours. You're able to then beat Iowa, albeit in four sets, but like to win two games in 24 hours for this team in terms of what they've been able to do, they just continue to impress. And I think to to outperform what the expectations were going into the season. And like I love it, man. Like they still have, you know, some tough games ahead the rest of the way, but they just continue to rack up wins just one by one by one by one. And it's just it's beautiful to see, man. Kudos to Shondell and his entire staff for the way they've been able to get these girls, you know, obviously bringing in new pieces, but then being able to get them to all play together, play for each other, to where it's very much so showing in the win loss column. You know, like they're just out here racking up wins. And like, you know, you play what, seven and one, I mean, what, 6-1, in terms of the sets over the last couple, the last, you know, the last 24 hours. So, it's great, man. It's really great to see what the volleyball has been doing. And yeah, we just, obviously we hope they keep the momentum going.
Yeah, just like you said, I mean, not only impressive what they've been able to do, but like in that sport to turn it around, you know, winning two matches at home within 24 hours and only dropping one set the whole weekend. That's pretty impressive stuff. And you know, they're now 21-3 on the year. 12-2 in conference, 8-game win streak. Like everything is really clicking right now, and really impressive to see. And you know, now they just got to kind of make sure to finish out strong. It kind of feels like we keep like almost waiting for like a slip up almost, and they keep getting it done. And you know, they'll have two more matches at home. This next weekend against Maryland and Oregon, again, back to back Fridays, Saturday nights. So, you know, not sure why they keep doing that. But really, and you know, it's kind of what we've talked about soon, where these are just like business, matches where you just need to kind of keep stacking wins, and really don't want to get caught looking ahead to that big matchup in a couple weeks against Wisconsin.
Yeah, absolutely, man. You know, be where your feet are. Continue to try to rack up wins. Take, you know, the next game is the most important game. All the cliches you can use. But yeah, I just, if they take it one game at a time, I mean, I think now we're at a point in the season where each of these wins, like they only help, like, in terms of your tournament seeding and where you can be at. So yeah, you just hope that they continue to kind of remain focused on the task at hand and not necessarily try to look ahead. But yeah, I just at the beginning of the season, man, I didn't see it going this way for the women's team, man. I really didn't. I didn't see it going for, like, when you lose the talent that they lost, well, albeit by graduation or obviously transfer portal, you just don't expect for them to bounce back in this way. And I've really been impressed by what they've been able to do, man. It's been really, really, I think it's one of the feel good stories, man. Like, it's a feel good story. And obviously for us being Purdue fans, it's just like, biasly, we're like, hell fucking yeah. Especially when you look literally across the parking lot. But yeah, it's been nice, man. It's been nice. And yeah, you hope that, obviously, yeah, there probably is a conversation or more like research we probably need to do into the whole, like, the scheduling piece of it. Because yeah, playing two games, like, in less than 24 hours. I mean, I feel like in basketball, you only see that in these non-conference tournaments, or in the, you know, the postseason tournaments. So like the conference tournaments at the end of the year. But this is very much so seeming like a thing in volleyball. And so that's interesting. I guess that's probably a nice way for me to say it. But maybe that's just the 37-year-old in me speaking.
But you know, again, just kudos to them. They just keep stacking wins, and you know, it kind of stinks that this is the year that it happens, because it feels like any other year, Coach Shondell is slam dunk, like Coach of the Year winner. But you got Nebraska, who like hasn't lost a set in like 2 months. So you know, it's really tough to argue against that. But either way, like just a heck of a job that him and his staff has done, that the players have responded. And like you said, man, it's been really fun to watch, and you know, hope they can keep stacking these wins and you know, building on this as we get ready for the tournament there. So let's switch gears a little bit. The actual, I guess, no, I was gonna say the first game, but the I didn't say volleyball match was first, but the basketball game Friday evening, Mackey Arena. The Boilermakers got the win, but it was not an easy win. In fact, they were tied at halftime against Oakland. And credit to that Oakland team, man, because they came in and they played really well. They made winning plays. I think especially in that first half, they out-hustled Purdue big time. They beat Purdue to loose balls, rebounds. They definitely wanted it more. And then, really felt like in that second half, kind of that, like, Purdue kind of turned it on, and the difference in talent, you could just see it. The guys made some plays. Braden was Braden. And you had some guys not, this felt like a newcomer win, because I don't think you win this game without Oscar Clough and Liam Murphy, playing how they did, especially in that second half.
Yeah, no, I think I agree with you, man. I think that Oakland play like, and I've been trying to think about this like since the game happened, but like Oakland, their previous game they played against Michigan, I think Michigan went on like a 20-0 run on them in the first half, and then it just like really got out of hand for them. So they got their teeth kicked in by Michigan. So I think they came out in this game and understood like, obviously, one, you're playing the number one team in the country, but two, also it's like, hey man, what just happened that last game? Like, nah, we that's not us. And so they come out, yeah, I think they came out with even more energy, more kind of determination of like, look, man, if we're gonna lose, we're not gonna lose that way. And yeah, like you said, for that first half, they honestly they outplayed Purdue. They outplayed Purdue in the first half, and they were more like just they were more they were just scrappier. They were scrappier in terms of getting to loose balls, and just the way that they played, their energy level was clearly higher. I mean, albeit like, yeah, we shot terribly from the three, but I just feel like rebounds are one of those things that like shooting aside, it's something that effort on the glass is something that kind of always has to be there. But like you said, I think in the second half it was just more of like a talent differential. So water found its own level to an extent, and like you said, with Oscar starting to get busy in the post, and then Liam was able to knock down a few shots, and then now, yeah, Braden came out, and Braden was Braden, and so it was just kind of off the strength of that where we were able to kind of pull away to a certain extent. I mean, obviously the gap was only 10, so clearly we didn't get like, we didn't get like crazy far away, but we were able to kind of get ourselves some breathing room. But yeah, I mean, all being said, at the end of the day, a win's a win, so we're not necessarily gonna. I think this is a time of the year where people do want to look at style points, but honestly, like a win is a win, like I said. And we're talking about with Oakland. Oakland has like probably the hardest three-game stretch that any team will probably have this year, in terms of how they're opening up the season. But it was nice to see the guys be able to kind of to bear down and to really lock in, especially in that second half. Because once they were tied in the second half, it was like, I mean, the first half, it was like, all right, like you have to go out, you have to win it in the second half. And so for them to be able to come out and Braden leading the charge, just kind of understanding like, all right, shit, like, nah, we're not gonna do this shit today. And him to start looking to be more aggressive offensively, to look for his own, to kind of to get some stuff going. And obviously, we know what he does in terms of assisting and even rebounding. But just understanding like, okay, I have to do more. I have to make sure more of my imprint is on this game. And they started to finally go to Oscar in the post, who I think in the second half, that I feel like that was the first time I've seen him be more comfortable within this offense. And just kind of understanding like, look, man, like I have an advantage in the post. I can get busy in the post. Like I've made hay in the post. So like, yeah, like feed me. But yeah, so it was nice to see in that second half, like just shit start to go the way I think we kind of expected it to. There's obviously still, I think, a lot of room for improvement, especially when you talk about rebounds and just overall defending. Yeah, like I said, they didn't shoot well from three, but I think there were a lot of good looks, and it just as easily, there's just as easily probably like six, seven, eight more threes that could have dropped, and then obviously this could have been real properly belt to ass. So obviously, if it's good shots, you want guys to take it. But there's still a lot to, I think there's still a lot that they can build off of this game. But yeah, it was nice to see in the second half them bear down and be able to be like, all right, cool. Like we know we're the better team. We just have to get to kind of like the nuts and bolts of this shit and make sure that we get this win.
And like we say, it was a prototypical Braden Smith game. And I mean that in like the best way possible. Was kind of flirting with a triple double there. Finished with 20 points, 9 assists, 7 rebounds. Was tied for the second on the team in rebounds, which you love to see from Brayden's aspect, but probably not the best stat from a team aspect when your point guard is tied for second in rebounds. But man, just a classic Brayden Smith game. He had a couple just unbelievable dimes that he dropped off, and really felt like kind of a player of the year type performance early on, and kind of just felt like a game where he put his team on his back and said, "We're not going to get upset at home,
Right.
and I'm going to do what I have to do to make sure of that."
Yeah, no, that's what you expect from Braden. A guy like that who, is what point guard of the best point guard in the country, reigning point guard of the year or first team All-American. Like you expect that at the hours you need to be able to look to him to be able to steer the ship and get you right. And that's exactly what he did. So thankful, obviously that you have Braden to be able to a guy you can look to again. A point guard is extension of the coach, who's just kind of able to understand the moment and understand. Okay, look, other guys aren't able to get it going right now. I need to look to get my own, and then obviously continue to try to get guys to set up guys. But like I it like we're we can't lose today. We can't lose. And yeah, just shout out to Braden, man, dead ass on his night, the
Yeah.
slam dunk night.
Yeah, just really neat, like they were giving away the beards too for all the fans. So it was nice to see him play well. And then, just kind of one last thing, Sim, on this game. And we've talked about like how deep this team is, and how there's so many different weapons. But I think it was clearly evident in a game like tonight when or in a game like Friday night, when you have six players score in double figures, and it was pretty, you have Jack with 11, Liam with 11, Oscar with 14, CJ with 14, Fletch with 20, and Brayden, or I mean Fletch with 15 and Brayden with 20. Like, just balance across the board is just one of those things again that makes this team so hard to defend because of how many different weapons they have.
Yeah, man. I mean, yeah, having six people in double figures lets you know that really on any given night you have six candidates, honestly. And I mean, we played nine guys, and I would argue with the exception of properly with the exception of really of Daniel, eight of those nine could give you 20 on a given night. But like yeah, you mentioned, there's six guys who are in double figures, and like you said, it can be like death by a thousand knives. I think truly in that way. I know they've said it in past years in terms of, but I think that's been more like stylistic, like, hey, if you take away the post and like the guys in the perimeter will kill you. Or if you take away the perimeter, the guys in the post will kill you type shit. But this genuinely feels more like death by a thousand knives, and the fact that you have a number of guys who are capable of giving you 10 to 20 a night. And I look at like Omer and Jakari and how like they were 0-3 and 0-6 respectfully from the field, but they had some good looks, and those are two guys who, albeit they didn't score, I think we can agree that like they're also capable of giving you 15, 20 on a night if they start knocking down some shots. So yeah, I mean, all things considered, despite the way that Purdue played on Friday, they scored 87 points. You had six guys in double figures. So offensively, it kind of is like, man, like imagine what happens if they shoot a little bit better. Imagine if, if Jakari and Omer, like, if they're able to knock down a few more shots, if you're, like there's a, when you think about it from that aspect of it, you're like, shit, man, this team can really put up some points offensively. Which I would say, while that's great, I always want to be mindful of the fact of like, hey, but defensively is kind of where you need to live at. We need to remember that in terms of defensively, how we're guarding people and how like we're being able to rebound. And as Paint likes to say, getting kills defensively. So obviously getting the rebound, I mean, getting the defensive rebound after a solid defensive possession. And having six people in double figures, I don't know if we did that at all last year. In fact, I'd feel pretty confident saying we never did.
Yeah, I don't think so either. But to your point, Sim, as we kind of look ahead now. So, the two kind of, I don't want to say bye wins are out, but the two games where you're kind of playing lesser opponents, you're done with those. It's time to kind of move on, and it's about to get really real. Because you're going to go on the road and play Alabama, a really, really good Alabama team. It's probably going to be top 10 when the polls come out after they just beat St. John's in the Garden over the weekend. And so, I don't think, to your point, I don't think we're too worried about how the offense is going to play on the road. But I'm really, really concerned about the defense, especially on the wings and rebounding the basketball. I mean, I think those are going to be obviously the two big things that are going to decide if the Boilermakers are going to be 3-0 at the end of the week next week.
Yeah, no, I agree with you, man. I think that there's a little part of me that thinks that these first couple games they were just kind of they wouldn't I wouldn't say they'd say it like openly, but to an extent, like you can kind of dick around in those first couple games. You know what I mean? Like you can because you understand that like our talent level is good enough to where we can kind of get away with it. But the Alabama game is the first game properly where you're like, no, we have to be on our shit from the jump. We have to be on our shit from the jump, not only offensively, but defensively as well. And like you said, from these first couple games, the thing that has stuck out to me the most has been our defense and then particularly the rebounding. And if you are getting out rebounded, like if you're giving up offensive rebounds against Alabama the same way that you gave up against Evansville and then Oakland in the first half, you will be down double figures going into the half, and you're likely to get blown out. So to me, like yeah, this is the first proper test, and I'm interested to see how guys respond to it because going to Tuscaloosa, albeit it might not be the same as being being at Rupp Arena. Nonetheless, the environment's going to be hostile. It's going to be hostile, and so every mistake you every turnover that you have is going to be magnified. Every offensive rebound that you give up, it's liable to keep that crowd engaged because the key when you're on the road is you want to get the crowd out of it. You don't want to give them any hope. But every time that if you play a good defensive possession, you're not able to get the rebound, and Alabama then subsequently gets an opportunity to kind of run some shit again, and if they're able to make a bucket, like they're going to be more those are going to be more painful of shots than these first two games because obviously you had the added benefit of being at home and you're playing in the friendly confines. But yeah, I mean, this is going to be a proper test for Purdue, and I'm very eager to see how they are on the boards and defensively. I think the offensive piece of it, the only thing I'm intrigued to see. One, I think Trey's going to play. I would like to think that he's going to. I think they didn't play in the last couple games because they were like, we should win these games even with him out. But I want to see if, like, offensively, we kind of work more inside out. If it is more of like a concerted effort of like, no, look, we're gonna establish like our post interior game. Obviously, if we're hitting threes, that's gonna bode well for us. But yeah, I think at the end of the day, the big thing for Purdue is gonna be, do you rebound? Like, are you able to close out possession? Are you able to control the boards on both sides? On both sides. If you're able to do that, I love our chances. But if you're not able to, I think we'll be here, recapping that game and being like, yeah, well, you didn't rebound. So that's, that's kind of what did you in.
I would agree with that 100%. We'll see what happens, man. Like you said, it'll be a fun test. Again, no matter what happens, the sky is not falling if they lose. They're not guaranteed the national championship if they win. These are why you play these fun games in November.
Facts.
And it's a good test. So, I say all that now.
They're all
Probably
building blocks for what we're trying to
if you
go
ask me that on Thursday, I'll be a little bit more nervous, but
to.
just keep that in mind. Like, win or lose, I don't think it changes anything as far as the outcome at the end of the year. But it's a really good test to see kind of where you're at early on. And we'll see, man. It'll be a 7 p.m. tip. Really, really hope that YouTube TV and ESPN gets their things figured out because the game will be on ESPN too. So YouTube TV, ESPN, please get your stuff together and get a deal done so I know I can watch the game. I know there's probably a lot of fans out there as well, where this might be the first time where it really impacts Purdue specifically. But Yeah, it's 7 p.m. Eastern. It'll be a fun environment. But whatever happens, win or lose, we will be here to break it all down. So thank everybody for listening, for all their interactions this weekend through all the different games, matches, everything that was going on. Really enjoyed that. Be on the lookout. We got a special episode that is going to drop next week. Really excited for that. Some fun stuff with a former Boilermaker. So can't wait for y'all to hear that. But most importantly, boiler up.
Yes, sir.